Just a couple of things to add to Josh there was Rhonda Schaefer hurt her knee the other day. So that makes, out of the Schaefer home, Courtney the most mobile. So I'm just letting you know. Schaefer's praying for you. So pray for them. And then also, Jason and Heather aren't here this morning. Their family's in Auburn because Mike Roberts, who's the preacher there in Auburn, was taken into the ER this morning, Hal told me. So Jason was asked to go up there to fill in. So pray for that situation as well. So if you're here this morning and you're even semi-healthy, praise Jesus for it, all right? All right, well, good deal. We are on our third installment of our questions that need to be asked series. And kind of wanted these for us as we're leading up to our revival, which, as we said, starts Sunday morning, playing for that, carry-in dinner that afternoon, looking for a good time with John being here with us. And so we've been asking questions, and we're going to continue on that today. I've got, I think, five or six questions here this morning for us to ask on this idea of questions that need to be asked. But we're going to start off here this morning with a very familiar line, verse that Jesus used towards the beginning of greatest sermon probably ever spoke, that of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus refers to the Church of Christ as the salt of the earth there in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, then how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." And especially back 2,000 years ago, salt, as it still does today, but played a very prevalent part of society. And Jesus, in this short textual area here, talks about salt, and he talks about light, and he talks about how we as Christians are both of those to a world that needs those things. And so when Jesus refers to the Church of Christ as the salt of the earth, what he's really saying and what he's sharing with us in this concept are four main things that we want to look at, is that salt is used to heal. It's used in a healing process. It also creates thirst. It also preserves, and it enhances taste. And so if we are the salt of the earth, if we are salt as Jesus says we are, then we are to be bringing a source of healing to a world that is hurting. This is what Jesus is telling us. And so when we consider things that we can do, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, is so what could be done? We're always thinking of bigger and better ways, right, to serve Jesus most importantly. But how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? It's through our hands and our feet that we carry that out to a world that needs that. But salt heals. You may have seen old Western movies, or I believe there's even a scene in Gladiator where they've got the cut on his arm, and not only does he put the little maggots on there to eat the skin, the bad skin away, but they pour salt and dump that in the wounds because salt is used to heal. And I'm not saying our world, I think it's the same now as it was 2,000 years ago, because all you have to do is read the gospel accounts and you see that Jesus engaged a lot of people that were hurting, that needed healing. And those people had a lot of physical struggles. And this salt is used for healing purposes. It's for medicinal purposes. The church, we as Christians, need to be there to help people that are struggling. Many times we like to say, well, they're right where they deserve to be. You know, they made bad decision after bad decision. Well, who in this room hasn't made a bad decision every time or two? Or consecutive bad decisions? We as that salt need to be the healing agent that this world needs. That we need to reach out in a different way. Then if we see if they are hurting in this physical way, then we need to do our best to help them out. Salt also creates thirst. We've heard the old line before of, you know, trying to win people to the gospel is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. My grandpa Nelson used to say, but you can make them thirsty. And then what's going to happen when you become thirsty? You're going to need something to drink. And so salt creates a thirst. Do we, in our area, where we're at, in our daily life, do we create a thirst for those around us? When we go about our life, wherever that may be, throughout the course of a week, do we leave people thirsty? Do we leave them wanting more? And I'm not talking physically thirsty. I'm talking spiritually thirsty. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do they see us as being righteous? Do they see us as being what is all right with the world? Or do they just see us as another problem in the world? Salt creates a thirst so that they would want to have a part of that. Now I will say this, we enjoy about every other fall making a trip to Destin, Florida and to the Gulf of America. And play out there in the ocean. And you get a mouthful of salt water. That can kind of be overbearing. Right? I've never yet seen any of us in our group or anybody else be like, sip that in and be, that's just so good. No, it doesn't happen. It's, get that out. And then it's like, and then you think, you know what? Maybe I'll rinse that out with some water. And then you're, oh, here we are, back to same square one again, right? But salt creates a thirst. And that's the way the Lord intended for it, is so that the world will see us as Christians and being that salt, and they'll want that pure water. They'll want that good water. Remember, there were times as they came through from Egypt to the Promised Land that they come upon some areas in which the water was bitter. Then they come upon some areas where the water was sweet. I don't know. We grew up having a well. Oh, I loved our water. I'm sorry. I go to the children's home in that direction and over in Ohio where some of you are at. And it's like hard-boiled eggs in that water. Ugh, gross. But I remember and working on different farms, different wells, and oh, that well water always tasted so, so good. We as Christians need to be that water, that when people get a taste of us, they're like, ooh, that's a good thing. I like that. They want some more. Salt also preserves. And so as we look at that, think of especially when you're trying to cure meats, they'll do that. Even for centuries gone past here in our own making that of beef jerky and things of that nature, that they would basically use that to preserve the meat, where they'd put that salt on there so that it would last, that it would preserve. You know, we live in a world today where things seem to be moving so rapidly that there are changes taking place all the time. And really, we need to be that which preserves. Preserves not only for a temporary time, but we have the message that can preserve us for all time. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. And then the salt to enhance taste, that it enhances taste. You see the cooking shows, right, where it'll say, you know, salt and pepper add to taste. Are you one of those people that when you sit down at the dinner table or at the restaurant, the first thing you do is grab the salt shaker and put it on your food before you taste? Huh? There are some that do that. How can we add to taste when we're already adding, right? What we are to do is to make it taste better. To make it taste better. Now, Hal, Carol, and Tam and I occasionally like to go out to Asakusa for some sushi. Hal and I will get sushi. The ladies very rarely do. But there was one time Dylan went with us. And if those of you that, I know Tom enjoys a dash or two of soy sauce, but to me, soy sauce is just like straight salt. I mean, that's what it just makes my... So anyway, Dylan's there with us, and he grabs that soy shaker, and soy sauce is everywhere, and we're just like looking at him and everything. He takes a bite, and he's like, whoa, that's a little too much. And sometimes in the world, the Christian can come across as just a little too much. Right? Now, what we as the Christian, what Jesus is telling us, is that we need to be there to make this world better. Not to be overbearing to it. Not to take something that was once good and make it bad. Leave it up to people to take Christianity, the best thing in the world that the Lord has left us, and mess it up. But He has given us that opportunity to be to the world what they need. And they need to taste something good once in a while. They need to share in an opportunity of seeing what the Christian life can be and should be like. Too many times, and you've seen it, I've seen it, where there's some sort of a scandal or something went wrong or something, and what does that do again? It gives even the good conservative churches a bad name. Because for the most part, the world's just going to look at this as a religion where everybody's just after whatever they can get. But Christianity is about what can we do to help our fellow man for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so those are the things that when Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth, that's what he means. So we've got a couple questions for us to ask. That what he's saying is that we should be involved in things, that we should be doing things. The unfortunate side of being a Christian and is we can't become a hermit. We can't move out to the mountainside somewhere and be by ourselves and never talk to anyone again. But we need to be involved in this world. And here's a couple questions for us. So what ministries or what servitude, what opportunity of service are you presently involved in right now that relates to these points? To what points? Those four points that we just looked at. What are you involved in as a Christian that is helping the world to heal? What are you involved in that creates thirst among those that you come in contact with? What are you doing to help preserve maybe other Christians to continue on in that good work? What are you doing to enhance the flavor so that when someone gets a opportunity to share in Christianity, they're like, I just love this. I just want to be a part of this. This is what it's about, that we make things better. So what ministry, what do you do to serve? And it doesn't mean that it has to be something that's listed in the bulletin. It could be that you make cookies and take them all throughout your neighborhood with a little note on it that says, Jesus loves you. So I mentioned cookies today just in case. So I was at Palmyra preaching on Tuesday night, and after we came back from break, I mentioned how good the no-bake cookies were. And so as we're getting ready to leave, one of the guys comes running out, and he's like, hey, we got a whole plate of cookies. No-bake right here. You take them home. So I was like, hey, okay, thanks. Yeah, that never crossed my mind that they would do. So I'm just throwing out cookies again today. If anybody happens to be thinking about a way that you could reach out to those in the world or your preacher or anyone along the line, right? So there's all sorts of things that you could be involved in. And the thing is, if we have to think about what are we involved in, then we might not be. And then the second question is, what ministries do you plan on starting that will enable you to relate to these points? So maybe there's something in your mind, there's something in your heart that's been burning that we need to, you know, here's an opportunity to be able to reach more people and to share God's word, to be the salt, to be the light, to be the healing opportunity. What are things or to create a thirst, or to help preserve, or to enhance the taste of Christianity? What are some of these things that you've thought about doing and haven't done them yet? What I'm saying is, why continue to think about them? Why not do them? Craig Crochelle, in his book, Think Ahead, writes this: the world needs salt because the world is impure. The world needs light because it is dark. When you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. So stop and think about that. Jesus said, we are the salt. So since you know that you're the salt because Jesus said you are, then you know what you need to do. You need to be involved in healing people's broken spirits. You need to be involved in those four things: the creating a thirst, preserving people, and enhancing their taste towards Christianity. Do you know what you are doing? And then we look at it from the other side of darkness. We are the light. And so we don't just stand around and curse the darkness. We turn on the light. We could all walk in here and leave the lights all off and oh man, it's so dark in here. I can't even see what we're doing. I don't even know where I'm walking. I don't see where I'm going. Or we could just walk over there to the wall and switch on the light. And the Lord wants us to be that light that makes it so people in this world can see clearly. So if you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. We go through our training every 2 years at school for our CPR classes. See, I don't have to remember what it is to know that I can do it. Our CPR classes. And so it's a reminder to us so that if something happens, we could step in and say, what's the first thing to say? Right? What's the first thing to say? Call somebody, get some professional help, and then you do what you can. Right? And so as we look at that, so we know what to do. Do we as the church know what to do? We as the church have more to do in our life than just roll in on a Sunday morning once a week and say hi to everybody. If that's what you think it is, then it's a social club. And Jesus doesn't say you're a social club. Jesus says you're salt. Jesus says you're light. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we love people? Jesus says you'll know that you are my disciples by how you love and how you care for people. If we are salt and if we are light, this flows out of who we are, which then leads us to our next question. That if this is true, does the church we serve really know who we are? I just spent 12 minutes talking to you about salt and light, mostly salt. But I hope that every one of you were like, yeah, we knew that. You know why? Because we're Christians. We're Christians. And so you know what you're to do. A permissive interpretation of a country's constitution and the scriptures will eventually lead to a significant decline in the degradation of both the moral and spiritual climate of that culture. The church brings a dead society to life and a dead community to a place of renewed faith. Are we doing that as the church? Are we doing that as the body of Christ? So we've got another question. So if that is true, then who or what organization is best suited to model this behavior and example and bring about such renewal? Who? Let's stop and consider it. Okay, this morning. Who has the best opportunity to be the salt in this community? Who has the best opportunity to be the light in this community? Right? Is it the local, Moose or the Masonic Lodge? Right? Or a denominational group? Right? Who has that opportunity? Can I get a hand raise? Yeah, right. The church, we have the best opportunity to do that. We, the you, the me, the all of us, the church, the body of Christ. When the church is silent on the issues that the culture is screaming about, then a whole generation only hears one world view. And it's high time they hear us shout. The church must speak up, disciple up, and train up a generation to navigate through cultural issues with grace and truth. I used this line a few weeks ago from Jim Book, and this is also in his book on Acts. And that's this statement. Lead with grace and land with truth. That there's times we need to present ourselves as being humble servants to a world that needs it. Jesus Christ even said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Do we think that we are greater than our master? No, so we have an opportunity for a world here, for a community that we could change if we lead with grace and land with truth. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. We don't have to look to pop culture. We don't have to look to a society that is giving us a worldview without Christ in it. What we need to do is look to the scriptures, look to how Jesus handled people. What we need to do is be engulfed in the gospel accounts to see how Jesus would handle a situation. Don't get me wrong. I think we should be people of the book of Acts, all the Bible. But we would do good, the church, if we would look and see how Jesus handled situations. Because too many times we say and we get information and we get guidance and we get instruction of people that say, well, you know what I would do? Or here's how you should go about it. No, I want to know what Jesus did. Do you want to know what Jesus did? Do you want to implement what Jesus did? Who better to do that than those that are of His body? You know, we must not cheat the church. It is the responsibility of the elders here, of the evangelists here, of the leaders here, of the teachers, that we provide information to contend with the world. We are here to equip the saints. And if we don't prepare you to get ready to go out into the world this week and change this world, then we have failed. Now, if we equip you and then you do not go out and change this world, you have failed. Ouch. That's a real uplifting message there, bro. Would you rather me come down on you a little hard or Jesus to say, depart from me, for I know you not? Truth is what affirms propositionally the nature of reality as it is, not reality as it is perceived to be. That's one of the things I unfortunately always get a kick out of watching when I watch Charlie Kirk videos, is that he deals with a lot of people that perceive reality to be something different. We as Christians need to perceive reality as it is. And you know what that means? And this is from the Bible. There are more people in this world going to hell than people going to heaven. That's not a perceived reality. That's what the Lord says through the written, inspired word. So shouldn't that wake us up and make us desire to be that salt that this world needs? John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38. We want to start with this passage of scripture, and we're going to throw in about three or four more verses. But this is the one that sets the tone. 2,000 years ago, this question was asked. And it's still being asked today because people don't perceive Jesus Christ and Christianity as the worldview in which we need to embrace. And that's why they struggle with this question. Let's read. Therefore, Pilate said to them, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, and this is what we all know, what is truth? It's high time that the church knows, learns, understands, and can perpetuate what truth is. In other passages, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 8:32, if you know the truth will make you free. How about John 17:17? That's not even on here. Sanctify them in your truth, or in your word, for your word is truth. John 1:14. And this goes back to what we had said earlier. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of what? We come at Him with grace, and we land with truth. In other words, who is our grace? Who is our truth? Jesus. Jesus. Churches that see themselves as relevant to the needs of their community exhibit the qualities, according to Rick Rusaw in his book, The Externally Focused Church. Now, we looked at that last week. Are we to be externally or internally focused? Both, yes. And so, if we're taking our moments to look at the externally focused church, here's how they are. They are inwardly strong, but outwardly focused. They integrate good deeds and good news in the life of the church every day. Their values impact and influence in the community more than just counting attendance. They seek to be light and salt within their community so that we have the opportunity to heal, to create a thirst, to create a desire, to help preserve those that are already walking that right path, and to enhance the taste so that we can be the people that the outside world looks at and says, what is so different about you? You're strange. And I know we get that a lot, but we ought to get that in a good way. We are, as Peter says, a peculiar people. That we're weird, according to the world. That there's something different about us. So I asked this question, second to last question last week, second to last question this week. So would the Harlan Church of Christ be missed if we were not here to serve and minister to the community? And I've got in my notes here, just jot down three ways in your mind, right now, that our congregation would be missed if we were to cease existing this very day? Or would the church, or would the community even miss us? The last question then is the same one we've been asking every week. All you that are sitting here, do you believe in the biblical plan of salvation? Not what some pastor has told you. Not what some holy reverend who would never lie to you. Right? Not your great-great-grandpa who this is what he did to be saved, you know, and ask Jesus into his heart. Do we believe in the biblical plan of salvation? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Do we believe in Him as Lord? Do we believe in Him as the Son of God? Do we believe in Him as our only way to heaven? Then if we do, we need to repent of our sin. The sin that put Him on that cross. The sin that He came to die to redeem. The sin that He washed away from us by His death upon the cross and us being immersed into Him. We are confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. We are aligning our spiritual walk with Him. We want to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Arise to walk in a newness of life where we are and have been immersed for the forgiveness of our sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and then live faithfully. Right, Bruce? Faithfully. See, last 2 weeks I had on there faithfully instead. Bruce caught that for me. So we fixed it. Right? Don't trust man. I'll let you down. Trust God's word. It'll lead you home all the way. Will you stand as they lead us in a song of invitation?
And sing the power of your love.